Maybe. If we podcasted from a hot tub, it might be the key to success.
It could be. I mean, we haven't tried it, so we don't know, right? I say that to my kids all the time. You don't know what you don't know. So try this new food. Try this out.
Just try to record with your electronics inside of a hot tub.
Adult beverages are poured. The kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming. It's a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives.
My name is Trevor, and I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Each week we come to you trying to show that just because you became a dad
does not mean it's game over.
Unless you are one of those fool adults who plays laser tag and takes it way too seriously.
Way too far, yeah.
Because in that case, it really should be game over.
It really should be.
I don't like stomping on anybody's bliss. Okay, this show is all about, look, like we play with little bits on a screen jumping around on mushrooms and everything else. So, like, it's not as if we have a great platform to stand upon. However, this all comes about because I believe in a couple weeks your kid is having a birthday party.
Yes. So it's the 11th birthday party, and it was something that was put out, like, what do you want to do? And of course, the default in my entire neighborhood and all my kids' friends is Laser Quest.
Of course.
That is where it's at. That's where every birthday is. That's where we always go. It's the default. But it's like something that, like, I now let the kids just go in by themselves. Obviously, they're old enough, and I stay out of it. I remember when I was in there, and it's just like this sweaty maze of yelling and screaming.
Hey, would you like to go to a sweaty maze for your birthday?
It really is. It's dark. It's dank.
Well, there'll be insulting flashing lights, too. Oh, yes.
Don't you want all that? Isn't that fun? Don't you want to pay for that to happen to you? Well, I have just the place.
Yeah, it's just, if you like to, I don't want to, again, I hate detracting it from what other people are doing. But it's, what I almost prefer is that if you consider yourself competitive in laser tag, I would like you to not compete randomly at kids' birthdays. It's maybe the bar, because inevitably I think I'm with you, and I'd love to hear from other gaming dads, like, what your current stance on Laser Quest is and laser tag. But I think I'm on you, because every time it's one of my kids and all of their friends, and they go in and it's a whole birthday party, and then there's like four adults and they're just worming across the entire maze. Like, I'll come around a corner, and then they're just sitting there dancing because they don't want to hit me, and I'm standing still looking at them like,
"Yeah,
what are you doing? Like, just, I guess, shoot me. Take your point. Like, congratulations on first place. You mopped the floor with those 6-year-olds. Like, good job.
Here's your loot bag. You won.
Oh, it bugs. It shouldn't get to me, but it gets to me every time. So every time it's like, hey, we're going to a birthday, and, like, it's laser tag. I'm like, I'm out. I don't want to play, man.
Yeah, Again, I'm with you, and it's kind of sucks when, you know, you have a birthday party there and you're paired up against just random people, because we don't have enough to, like, fill out the room, or I'm not paying double to rent out the entire room. So you're pitted against whoever is in the lion's den at that point, and you're just like, well, you're against all these adults, so have a fun time. Yeah. I don't know.
And I'll put it this way too. I'll say, like, for me, where, okay, I'm kind of pissy about it, whatever. I'm a cranky old dad now. So be it.
Yeah.
What I dislike more is just, like, so you're first place, you're 36, you mopped the floor with these kids, but it just meant that the kids didn't get to shoot each other a lot. Like, you were constantly tagging them. Like, they you literally just taking away from these young children's joy with your dominance at pew-pew laser time.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know if you... Do you give your kids a pep talk when they go in? Because I'm like, go in with the brightest colors. Go in and be that target and just have a blast and be like, yeah, come out and get me. Like, and have fun, because what's the point? Like, you've already had so many goes at being the winner. Like, why not do the opposite and just have a great time and give somebody else that win, right? Like, that's what I say to my kids. I'm not sure that these other people do that, but...
Yeah. I think it's more so about, hey, have a good time. Like, try to move around a bit. Like, check everything out. Don't, like, camp.
Don't camp. Like, move, that is key. Don't, no camping.
Like, move about.
Counter-Strike rules. No camping.
Okay. I think we could start a second podcast, which is just us complaining about laser tag. I don't want to get into it. Gaming Dads, I don't know what your stance is. I'm on Team Jeff on this one.
Yay.
I don't, unless it's just my family, I don't think I ever plan to play it again. It's getting ruined by adults trying hard. So we'll move it. Speaking of adults trying hard, I've been trying hard to figure out what game to play next. Thank you, everybody, who participated in the poll. You did not disappoint. Y'all hate Diablo. Y'all hate Diablo.
That's it.
Like, it's not...
Total it, zero votes for
not
Diablo
a single vote. I just, you would think Blizzard would almost send somebody just to try to even it out, but clear winner with Horizon Zero Dawn with 66% of the vote. Elden Ring and No Man's Sky tying second and third, like, respectively, or tied for second, I suppose. But that is a very dominant victory. So here we go, diving back in the world. I think I'm about halfway through the game. I'll see if my save file still exists or I've had to start from scratch.
Oh no, that's quite a, it's not a super long game, but if you're halfway through, it's just like, do I want to play it from the start? But how are you feeling about this? Like, Horizon, that's not...
It's just, again, one of those... I recall being upset with how long I waited to play it.
Oh, right, yes.
Because it's just such an achievement. It's so much fun. Like, it's so interesting. It plays off of some of the best parts of Assassin's Creed as far as open world and stealth and, like, kind of stomping around, slowly building yourself up. Like, all parts that were just fantastic. So, no, I'm excited to get back into it. There's a part of me that wishes... I wish I could get it for PC because my PC is... you know, more powerful than a PS4, right. See better visuals, also do like streaming on it. But ultimately, yeah, I'm stoked. Hey, thanks everybody for voting. I might try to do a stream of it on Twitch, but game time has been really restricted lately just with work and life. But
yeah,
if I can maybe do a couple streams, it'd be kind of interesting to get that live.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see these skills. The story driven.
Take it easy. It's going all the way to the basement bargain, like, baby mode. Because I don't got time to get good at this game.
That's fine. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, now, next thing that we had called, another tweet, like, speaking of Twitter, another thing that Jeff had posted up that was so interesting to me was an next story, and it actually does come with from Retro Blast US, who put up a photo of the Hoth level on Nintendo 64.
Yeah, Shadows of the Empire. Love this game.
With the caption, to this day, still one of the best opening stages in a video game. Which is, and Jeff, why don't you walk us through, like, your memories of this game? Because, so again, I just want everyone to place yourself back. Like, the Pop-Tarts are fresh. It's Saturday. You have no homework. You don't have to go anywhere. And you pop into your N64.
Yes.
Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. And you are in your speed glider?
Was that snow speeder.
Snowspeeder,
yep,
taking down, and you see for the first time one of the AT-ATs. So walk me through, Jeff, like your memories of this game.
This, okay, so again, I was probably 10, 11, maybe at this point, maybe 12. This was a mind-blowing experience with not only Star Wars, but Star Wars in 3D. Right? And they had captured every sound effect from the actual movie. So they have, like, the little drones beeping off. They have the walkers and the sound that they make, like the chain kind of, like, dragging. And it was just one of these things that I popped in and I didn't stop for hours on end with my snowspeeder on the Battle of Hoth as the only level in this game that I would ever play. Because it was one of the most exciting ones where you drive around and you have to rope the AT-ATs with the tow rope and grab their legs because you couldn't shoot them because they're so armored. And it's just, mm-hmm. wow, this is just like the movie. This is what they do. And you have to coordinate and you hear all your allies being shot at and stuff. Mm. And you're like, this is exciting. I love it. And that's where I spent most of my childhood in this game. On an ice world battling these Star Wars machines. So
yeah, I don't know that. I'd be curious to see the stats of how many people actually got past that first level, in the sense that they wanted to keep playing more, because that level was just so perfect.
It really was. And after this level, you're on foot, and like, it's not very well done in terms of the controls. And I remember just like stopping. I'm like, no, I'm going back to my snow speeder. Hmm. And I just played that. And then I just waited for like the gaming cheats to come out. And then that's when I completed most of the other levels, because I'm like, I don't want to deal with any of this. I just want to know if there's another space map.
Yeah. So I do wonder, like, will our kids, I'm trying to think, we're jaded. We're old. We're dads. Ugh. You know, really, I can't think of many times now where you have that same sense of wonder, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so if you think about the first time you pop in this game and the sound hits and you see the first AT&T, or like you drop it for the first time, it sounds exactly as you remember it. In your little brain, you're like, I am in Star Wars. Look at all the sky. This place is huge. Like, I can't believe I took it down. This is amazing. Like, I can remember the feeling. You know what I mean? And there's a few instances in gaming where you just, like GTA 3, for instance, the first time, like, the whole city map opens up, like, I can just do anything. This is crazy.
Yeah.
There's those moments of revelation and jubilation in the game. I just want, are our kids already jaded enough to not ever get to experience it? Is it sort of taken for granted because they didn't have, like, they didn't jump from Super Mario to this, so true. Couldn't appreciate the jump? Like, how do you feel? Do you think your kids have ever had a similar feeling that you had when you first jumped into your snow speeder in Hoth?
I think it's probably just different, because at this point, yeah, the graphics jumped from 2D into a 3D space, and like, my mind was melting, right? Like, even with Mario 64, like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I think with my kids now that are more excited for like the Roblox game to update with a new map, I think it's just different. Do you know what I mean? So like, they don't really care about the graphics. They care about the gameplay, getting in with their friends and having all that kind of experience. So I don't think they're as blown away as some of the, like, I'm playing again Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is like gorgeous, and they're like, whatever, I'm going upstairs. Like, what don't do you mean see?
Look at Cloud, you can count his hairs, my God.
Right. And the only thing that I will say that got close to this original feeling of being mind blown was Rogue Squadron in VR. Like, that is insane. And I wish they had a Hoth level. I don't know if they've updated it and they would have a Hoth level, but having your spaceship in a virtual space and having the lasers and the sound on your shields, like the gloom, 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 and it's trying to eat through the shields, brought me back to this. And I'm like, yeah. But no snow speeders as far as my eyes. Unless there's a mod or something, I'd love it. But
yeah, I just wonder if so that is a phenomenal point. I think the last time I felt it would have been during my demo of the PSVR.
Yeah.
And right? it was a space title too. I can't quite remember the name.
Was it Eve Valkyrie? Because that's the one that sold me. Yes. I was at the demo ones in the shopping mall. I'm like, give me the space one. And they're like, we're not sure you got your VR legs. I'm like, space now.
Give it to me. Hit me with it. That was probably the same thing. So some of those moments in VR where it's just, what is this? I can't believe it. Like, I'm in the 3D version of everything I've ever played. This is,
right.
I'm in the Matrix. We did it. But again, my kids have like sampled VR, and he's like, yay, how do I get Roblox on it? Like, how do I do Minecraft?
Oh no. Yeah.
So it's different. So I don't know if it's a jadedness, if it is just, you know, your level of expectation keeps rising to meet. There's a novelty effect, obviously, right? Like, eventually, what is once new and novel starts to become just the baseline. And their baseline, unfortunately, is set so high. It's hard to think if they'd ever get that experience. So they're kind of missing out in a small way, I think.
I can see where that can be an issue. And being a gaming parent, I feed my kids like a lot of games. I'm like, look at this experience. Look at this experience where I think we were on our own to figure it out. And we're like, oh my God, this thing's amazing. Jimmy was talking about it at recess and like he's painted, like hyped it up. And then you finally get to play it. And it's like this huge, wondrous thing where I'm like, hey kids, come and join these 90 games I get with this like subscription. Like
every game you would ever want.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. So anybody, all the gaming dads listening, if you have a similar memory, if you've been able to get that feeling for your kid with a particular experience, we'd really like to hear it. Reach out to us, newdadgaming.com or at newdadgaming. So you mentioned having a wealth of games, and yes, that's sort of a situation I find myself in now because a ton of games just came across my radar. Right. So, and just like just bam, 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 in sequential. And the best part is like, I just asked the audience, hey, everybody, please come and vote. What game should I play next?
Yes.
Right. And then six new ones entirely that I'd never seen before come out the woodworks. And it's just, I swear, you get the sense that smart devices are listening to you. And it's almost like they're listening to the podcast and they're just mashing things that I like together to try to produce something new. Although I will say, I almost wonder, before I get into these titles, they're all smaller ones produced by smaller teams. And I do wonder if it's, do you think it's perhaps a bit of a renaissance from the, I don't want to say the death of it, that's too strong, but the AAA gaming has certainly lost its shine in the last couple of years, right? Yeah. Justice League Suicide Squad killed the Justice League, terrible flop.
Yep.
Marvel's Avengers, terrible flop. Some of the recent, there's a couple pirate ones that came out. None of them did very well. Like, so these huge, massive games just not doing great. The shine had been taken off a lot of AAA. Yep. Baldur's Gate comes out, unbelievable success, kind of AA, smaller thing. All the games that we're looking at now that I'm going to talk about are super tiny, like 8 to 12 people teams, if not one, for one of the games. Is it a renaissance in game development in the sense that, hey, look, the tools are just available now. Like, we've kind of come up to this point of parity where it's not crazy to be able to actually develop and build a video game. I wonder if that has now created an opportunity for just passionate, smaller teams to produce cool things and mash together things that us who grew up with gaming like. Like what do you think is going on that in a single week, I could just be exposed to like 8 titles that are tailor-made for me?
So I'm just going to really cut through because like as a designer and as you are a designer, right? Mm-hmm. I think in a AAA studio with lots of hierarchy and leadership and everybody has their own kind of like, I want this to happen. I think a lot of that vision gets watered down and a lot of the fun gets watered down. Like, how do we monetize it? How do we do this? Like timelines and budget and all this stuff. Whereas I think the solo and smaller teams have to be like these really collaborative group of people, kind of like the PAL World success, right? Like 1,000%. We just want to make a fun game. This is something that we would like to play. This is our vision. We're sticking to it. No one's really telling us what to do. Right? We are all in it together and we're going to get this done. And then you can kind of see that, you know, authenticity shine through. Whereas I think some of the other ones that you mentioned, like I think one was like Skull and Bones, right? Mm-hmm. All you had to do was copy Black Flag out of Assassin's Creed. And you're like, you literally just couldn't do that because you had to be like, how do we make this different? How do we charge for stuff? How do we do cosmetics and all these other things that we should shove into a game? And I think that's where it gets diluted. And you're like, oh, this isn't fun anymore. And then you go to these games and you're like, yeah, this is what I want. This is what it is.
Hey, it's lasers. It's space. That is a fantastic take. It's almost crumbling under its own weight of expectation and requirements. It's like, well, we can't just make a million. We need to make a billion. So it's got to be a live service, which means we have to do this. And the next thing you know, it's just like a slog as opposed to, hey, can whales go in space? I don't care. Add some.
Just great. I love it. Yeah.
So let me do it in rapid succession. I almost just want to put it into the ether because I'm excited that all these exist. I'm not sure. I have them in my Steam card. I'm pretty sure I'm going to pick it up. It's kind of just a matter of, I think I'm going to buy them to just go into the queue. and they're just going to die there. Like, I don't know if I'm going to find time to play it.
I fully support you just purchasing all these ones and just letting me know and be like, hey, Jeff, no, you really need to get this one. Okay, next week. Oh, no, you really need to get this one.
Very cool. I think most of these are open access. Anyway, so it comes. So first up is Spaceborne 2, which it takes the space simulator game. You can get on a planet, you're running around. You can just have battle fights with lasers, everything else. You hop into your spaceship, go up into space, shoot. Do get in a bunch of dogfights, but then you can do some trading, jump between systems. So it's a lot. In a lot of ways, it's much of what Elite Dangerous is, while reducing some of the simulation part of it and making it more action adventure-y. Like Elite Dangerous took some 6 to 8 years to add like the ability to walk around, and this one like is out the gate with it ready to go. So it's very much an open. Hey, fly around space. What do you want to do? You want to be a pirate and you want to blow that up? Cool, off you go. You want to build a huge space truck and, you know, take minerals across a galaxy? Bob's your uncle. This is your game. What do you want to do? But you'll see in a lot of it, it's much more arcadey.
Mm.
So there's just a lot more surface area and it's super arcadey. Just get into space. Let's go. And it looked fantastic. And you see people playing it and it's just that kind of sense of like, yeah, this is great, let's go over here. Oh no, now this alien just shot me up. Okay, I'm gonna get a rocket launcher. What's that, like, put some space jelly into Quadrant 9, I guess, and then it just
This sounds like totally your game. Like, this is gonna be where you live again in space.
It just seems kind of like it's like Elite Dangerous, Diet Elite Dangerous, basically. No, you know what it is, it's like Diet Cherry Elite Dangerous. Diet It's like Diet Cherry Coke, because like it's less than it is, but it's also like one of the crazy fruit ones where it's just right. A lot more fun and like interesting. So this is the Diet Cherry Coke to what Coke Original is with Elite Dangerous. How's that for comparison?
Ship I think it. That works. I think that should go in your review when you that get should, this.
If they ever had a physical box, I hope it goes in the physical box. But hey, if you... listeners like me, like No Man's Sky, like Elite Dangerous, like the space sim type stuff, check out Spaceborne 2. I think it's in early access. Okay, so now another darling, which this... So you saw that... I'd like you to introduce this one. You saw this game, and... Friend, you know, we've been doing this now for 7 years. We've known each other for... Oh, God.
Oh no, forever.
Jeff, yeah. It's been like 20 years, dude.
We missed our anniversary.
That's uncomfortable.
We're old.
But I'm in your head, so like you saw this game and you thought of me because it's a card battler. So why don't you describe what you had seen and what you had thought?
Immediately thought of Trevor with Balatro. New deck builder kind of roguelite poker-esque game. And I'm like, oh my God, this is exactly... what you've kind of been doing, trying to figure out your, you know, card games.
Forever and game.
You ended up on Marvel Snap for a while. I'm like, this could be just a good supplement. Not take it over, but like, hey, this actually might hit. And even I was drawn in with some of the graphics that are kind of like this, not retro, but like pixely. It's not too flashy. It's just having fun. And it just seems like the bunch of people that I saw streaming it were having a great time with it and then lost all track of time. So they were really like drawn into it. And I'm like, oh no, maybe I shouldn't suggest this. And then I just lost my train of thought. And I'm like, right before the show, I'm like, oh no, this game, you need to check this out. Have you heard of it? And that's when we kind of dove into it. So,
yeah. So the 1000%, it was in my cart at the time of like, as soon as Jeff said it to me, it's like, oh, because Steam had a deck builder sale.
Right, okay.
And there's a bunch of them there, and I'm just like, I don't have bandwidth to learn a new one. But this one I'd seen, and even like big streamers like Day 9, his exact comment was that, where it's like, I have no life now. I just play Balatro. this is all I do. So his first reviews of it was very much, there's nothing else. This game just completely takes over. This is amazing.
Right.
So I was a bit hesitant because they do have a mobile version coming. Which that's, I thought that'd be a bit more... Now, so two problems. Like, I would like to stream this. I think this would be fun to stream. I think it leads to some really fun interactions with, like, the crowd and everything. I think I'll go ahead and purchase it. The challenge with the mobile port being is that this game, like, very much to the how we introduce this whole segment of games, this game is produced by one person. one person built this game, which again, if you look at it, it's like, yeah, it's not exactly.
I could see it, yeah.
But it's within the first 8 hours, it had cleared $1 million.
Why aren't we out there developing games, Trevor? I'm just
and
saying.
And I think it's just Unity. Like, it's just like an open engine. This guy built a game, released it, and had $1 million. And well, the best part is, like, well deserved. Like, that's such a win. That's so fantastic. Like, that's what you want to hear. Because you want to see these cool, interesting takes, these tight experiences from, like, genuine people who are just trying to build something. $1 million success. This is fantastic. It is so exciting. You will look at the dearth and the problems with the AAA space sometimes, and it can really weigh you down. It's like, this used to be the fun thing I used to do with my Capri Sun after I got home from school. Right?
That's right, yeah.
But then you see something like this, and it's like, it's alive. It's still happening. We're good, guys.
Yeah, it's like something that I think if I was going to rent a game and spending the money on renting a game, and you saw these two up there, you'd be like, no, I want the fun one. I want the...
Look at how much fun I could have with. Look at the reviews.
Look at these, having a blast. Yeah.
Reviews on the Run gave it 5 stars. I got to get
it. Oh, there we go. Sending us way back.
So, Balatro, thank you for thinking of me. You were 100% right. I will be picking this up right after the show. Check it out on a stream coming soon at New Dad Gaming Podcast on Twitch. And then lastly, this one to me was very much... So this... People have had such a blast trying to describe this game. So this game is titled Jump Ship. IGN did a really great review of it recently. And they try to describe it as, imagine if you took FTL and Helldivers 2 and... Oh no, what was the other one? What's the silly co-op one that looks like a PS1 game?
Oh, it's like Borderlands? Is it? No.
There was some Borderlands stuff into it because there was like upgrade type of stuff. But it's a recent one that hit big on Twitch for its like silly... there's four people, like you're in hazmat suits. It looks like PS1 graphics.
Oh,
this is going to kill us.
Lethal Company.
Lethal Company.
Yes. So sorry, you take I got
all
that.
Of those. Yeah. So FTL, Helldivers 2, Lethal Company, jam it all together, Jump Ship. So.
Wow. Okay. That's a description.
It's a lot. So four people get together and get put onto a ship. And the four of you chart a course across a planet trying to survive. And you can choose, like, collectively, okay, well, here's the map, here's the challenge, this is a little bit less, this is a little bit more, greater risk, greater reward. You get materials, you can then upgrade, you can all upgrade your one ship. And then somebody, and you're not just going between, like, one of you has to pilot.
Okay, yeah,
so one of you is actually flying the ship, and the rest of you are just running around trying to upgrade all the systems a la FTL, because you have to make it to your next destination. So
that sounds really fun and chaotic.
Oh yes, sir.
Who's driving the ship? I thought you were.
Oh God! Somebody put out the. There's fires. And then even like, I think what you need to see though is like on screen what's happening is that when you arrive at one of your destinations and it's time to attack or like do your mission, you don't just get out like you jettison out and then start to jetpack across the land. So this is where we're not taking things as seriously anymore in a great way. And it's like, hey, what'd be fun? Well, we can make them walk. Ah, forget that. Jetpacks,
yeah.
But so the co-op, there is no PvP. It's all just PvE. Leveling kind of doesn't matter. So it's not so much about you, the individual. It's kind of what your ship is.
Okay, cool.
But you can bring kind of lesser players onto your more powerful ship. So it kind of just doesn't matter. Like it gets at least like leveled out. So it's not a grind in the sense that you have to get the best gear so you can be quote unquote competitive or like useful to a team. But then who gets to fly? Okay, you fly, I'll take the turret. You do the, you man the engineering, screaming silliness, fun.
Okay, not to interrupt you, but all of that is amazing. And the footage that we're watching, the ship is going through above the planet and there's a guy that got out and is on the aft part of the ship outside firing the gun.
Yes, sir.
at these other ships. I'm like, oh my god, this is so cool. And then he's trying to repair where they're getting damaged. I'm like, this is amazing. This is almost like when the footage came up, I'm like, oh, this might have been what Starfield should have been. I'm not to like push down that game because,
yeah,
like, you know, it is what it is. It's fine. But it's just like, this looks, I don't know, a lot more stories that comes out of it, right? Like, you won't believe what happened in my game yesterday, mm-hmm. right? Like, all this stuff happened. And I think that's what, you know,
what I think, again, what Skyrim I think is
Adventures,
wild.
Right? Like, that's what fit in here.
Man, and the, if you're going to try to be negative about it, what you might say is like, oh, they're just trying to cash in on Helldivers, Helldivers 2 success.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah, yeah.
However, they're, like, this is a game. Like, there's no way that Helldivers came out, and since that time, they've just built it.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
more
yeah,
the it's more a coincidence in that they were producing this game. And by the way, this is another. It's like a, they're Swedish or ice. I think it's Swedish. It's a team of 12 people. They work in a basement. This it's just like a tiny little team, and they built out this entire thing. So I
mean, it looks fantastic. If they add a Hoth level,
man. Why not? They could. They just absolutely could. Why not?
Do it. I mean, please. Hopefully.
It is just all about fun, right? There'd be no reason for them not to.
Yeah.
So it's so encouraging, guys. Like, I encourage any of the gaming dads to listening, go check out those games. Spaceborne 2, Balatro, Jump Ship. And I think Jump Ship especially, I think that's going to play really well for some gaming dad shenanigans. So the intention was, by the way, so we've reached out to a couple of gaming dads. I want to get some Helldivers gameplay going. I got smoked with work the last couple of weeks. Next week's not looking much better. But I do intend to reach out, try to get at least a couple matches in of Helldivers with some gaming dads. I'd like the interaction with the listeners has been so fantastic. So Jeff and I definitely want to start to try to get some events like that happening. Low-key, just fun. Gaming dads getting together, having a good time. But check those ones out. Gaming dads, we are in what might be the new renaissance of gaming.
You heard it here first.
Let's go. We're right there to report it, gaming dads. Right. Not a pretty dad-heavy show this time. It's more about just cool stuff out there, but that's how parenting
exciting.
Rolls. Sometimes.
I'm excited. I looked at all those games that we came across. I'm like, yeah, we need to start our own space crew, our own dad space crew.
Let's go. Dads in space.
That's right.
But then, like, you know, space will get boring, so we'll have to then go into apocalyptic setting, and then we'll have to go into gangster.
Why
plenty
not?
Places.
We'll be everywhere.
Yes, sir. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you like the show, you can find us on all the major podcasting networks. Just search for New Dad Gaming on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Caster, anywhere where you get your podcasts. Just search New Dad Gaming. If you like the show, what really helps us out is a subscription. Seems small, but ultimately those little bumps helps to promote the show, gets us out there to more dads, and especially if you leave a rating and a review, really, like, your single review or rating can really turn the tide. Jeff and I would be eternally grateful. So if you could consider it, rating, review, subscribe to anywhere. If you'd like to interact with us, like I said, one of the greatest parts of the show, we ran a poll. We now have set in stone what I will play and beat next with Horizon Zero Dawn. But that type of stuff, we love the interaction. We love the stories. We love the messages. We love the dad struggle stories, anything in between. So reach out to us at New Dad Gaming on Twitter, New Dad Gaming Podcast on Twitch, and newdadgaming.com for the website. Love to hear from you. Everybody, cannot stress enough, thank you so much for listening. And until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Always remember, just because you became a dad
does not mean it's game over.
There's just so many games, Jeff.
I'll see you in space. That's where we, no one can hear
you scream. I'll bring my one-player poker roguelike. How's that?
Perfect.
In space.
You'll fit right in. It's great.
Yeah. All right. See you next week.
See you later.